Everyone, I want to welcome everybody to the Woodway City Council meeting, September 25th. The time is now 5:31, and I will open the meeting at this time. Thank you all so much for being here. Item number one is our invocation, and I have asked Reverend Judith Hardy from Woodway Central Presbyterian Church if she wouldn't mind leading our invocation this evening. Well, why don't you come on up there so we can all hear you? Thank you. Thank you so much for being here, Reverend. We really appreciate it. Thanks for leading our invocation tonight.
Thank you for the invitation. Would you please bow in reverence with me? Gracious and loving God, we gather before you today seeking your will and your guidance for our growing community. Humble our hearts and unite us in our quest to create space for individuals, families, businesses, and groups to grow and thrive. In this sacred moment, we acknowledge the challenges and the conflicts that surround us, and we ask that you would help us to hold space for peace, which includes recognizing the other, fostering understanding, compassion, and harmony in this hour, in this your community. Lord, we pray for your divine wisdom to guide the minds and the hearts of each council member present. Grant them clarity of thought, a deep desire to work towards the greater good, and a willingness to embrace collaboration as they deliberate on matters that impact the lives of so many. Lord, may your peace, which transcends all understanding, now fill this chamber. We ask you to quell tensions, to dissolve differences, and to inspire respectful dialogue among all of us. We pray for the well-being and the prosperity of Woodway, of its residents, and its neighbors. Strengthen us all, we pray, and instill in us a deep appreciation for the diversity gathered here, assembled, recognizing that it is in our differences that your strength shines through. Lord, I offer this prayer in reverence and hope, trusting in your unwavering love and grace. I charge our leaders to mindfully hold space for your wisdom and peace. And I ask that in your mercy, we be held together as a community of grace. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Reverend Hardy. And thank you, Woodway Central Presbyterian Church, for being such great partners in our community. Item number two is our Pledge of Allegiance. If you're able, please rise as we give pledge to our flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Item number three this evening is our public comment time. The City Council invites all citizens and guests to address the Council on any matter, including items on the agenda, except public hearings that are included on the agenda as well. Comments related to public hearings will be heard when the specific hearing starts. Please limit your comments to 3 minutes per resolution R-87-11. The countdown clock will be on the screen right here behind us. The council is not permitted to take any action or discuss any item that's not listed on the agenda. So when called to speak, please state your name and address. And if speaking on a specific agenda item, please state the item before beginning your comments. Thank you for your cooperation. At this time, I'll open the public comment time. Is there anybody who would like to address council? Yes, sir.
My name is Ken Cooper. I live at 107 Westridge Lane. I'm here to discuss item number seven, which is discussion on possible future action on temporary moratorium of all building permits. Mr. Russell, I think you're the council member that suggested that at the last meeting. I respectfully disagree wholeheartedly with that motion. I would like to make the following comments regarding that. I've built homes in Woodway since the mid-80s. fact, one of the first custom homes I built was for Mr. Moss, sitting right behind me here. Didn't know he was going to be here. Don't hold that against me, please, okay? Okay. I built homes in Oak Creek, Oak Ridge, Badger Ranch, Lake Forest, Park Place. I believe that the idea of a moratorium on new construction and residential construction for both residential and commercial is just absolutely, totally foreign to this community. The idea that we would stop growth, which was even mentioned in our prayer, that the growth of this community was what's really allowed for this community to prosper, which has allowed for this community to have the tax revenues that are over and above what we actually need and will allow us to eventually make the improvements in community facilities. I think that's a very, very strong argument. It's a waste of city staff time to even do the work that's going to be required to demonstrate that there are substantial shortages due to public facilities shortages. Maintenance issues do not make for a shortage of water. So if we've got maintenance issues, let's address the maintenance issues, take care of those. But I do not believe that there's a shortage of water at this time. And I certainly don't think that the climate change that was mentioned, Mr. Russell, in your comment, really is a part of that. And I would just hope that we would really think strongly and hardly before we make any rash decisions. There's a process that's required to make this kind of a change, to have a moratorium. There's actually a public hearings process, notices that would have to be sent out. City staff would have to use an inordinate amount of time to put that into place. And I think that that's not the proper resource to be using our city staff people for. There must be findings of evidence that result in these shortages. Mechanical failures would not show that to be a shortage, but just an issue of mechanics. A moratorium can only apply to the areas where these shortages would occur. How do you describe that in this community? Where would those shortages occur? This is a new, I've got one other comment I'd like to make, and that is that the property taxes of these new homes, the businesses that have been going up on 84, it's been a huge amount of, is my time up?
Yes, sir. Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for letting me speak.
Thank you. Thank you, sir. Anybody else to address council at this time, please? Yes, sir.
Hey, I'm Russ Davis, 367 Broughton in Woodway. And I want to address the other part of the comment that Councilman David Russell mentioned last meeting about the possibility of a surcharge on residential and commercial permits. While impact fees, this is what it's actually called, an impact fee. These are legal. Cities in Texas must follow a specific process noted in the impact fee statutes in the local government code, chapter 395. There's a very specific and detailed scientific process that goes along with water impact fees. I would invite you to read that code. And the Texas state mandates that cities follow lengthy and scientific process rather than coming up with a random number of 10,000 or 20,000, whatever you want to come up with. Establishing a local capital improvement plan, that would be one of the mandates in the code. This must be developed by qualified professionals using generally accepted engineering and planning practices, which include establishing service area boundaries and land use assumptions. Then you would have to set a date for public hearings to consider the capital improvements plan and those land use assumptions. Also, you'd have to make certain information publicly available prior to the publication date for the first hearing, conducting a public hearing, and much, much more. In short, this is a very lengthy, years long, and very, very expensive process to try to undertake to get impact fees implemented under the Texas code. And so I would say that would be a waste of taxpayer dollars and a waste of time. on the city staff as well. So thank you guys for hearing me out. Appreciate it.
Thank you, sir.
Yes, sir.
My name is Scott Bland. I'm 12012 Sequoia in Woodway. Appreciate you giving me the time to speak. I want to give you just a little bit of a history lesson in Woodway. I was born and raised in Woodway. My father, Jim Bland, with several other builders, essentially developed what you know from Pogue back as Woodway. And in the mid-1980s, the Woodway City Council had the same mindset that Councilman Russell has now of non-growth, stopping growth, that the growth had become too much, we're spreading out too far, and it was time to rein in growth and stop that type of growth because it was taxing too much of city resources, things like that. And the city council at that time made it very, very difficult for builders to get building permits, development permits, things of that nature, and essentially shut down growth in the city of Woodway. What happened in the interim period after that is sections that we look at now on a map that should be Woodway, Sunwest, Hidden Valley, Stone Creek Ranch, should be Woodway, they're Waco. They're city of Waco because the city council in Woodway in the mid-80s, in spite of the efforts of my father and Fred DeWald and Brad Alford's dad, who was my dad's best friend, and those guys who lobbied the city of Woodway to not pass those measures, to not stop growth in the city of Woodway, their efforts failed, and as a result, the city of Waco went around the city of Woodway, and now the city of Waco has a much more vibrant, much more, a lot more money, a bigger tax base than the city of Woodway has, and what city of Woodway should have. Those areas by the map should be city of Woodway, but it was the ideas and the thoughts, similar to Councilman Russell, who I understand, I appreciate your thoughts, they're value to those. But there are unintended consequences. The unintended consequences are you shut that down, somebody's going to come behind you and they're going to go around you. And builders and developers like me, we're going to go around Woodway. And we're going to make much greater tax bases for other communities that could be used within the city of Woodway, but they won't be anymore. And you think of the opportunity lost in the mid-80s by that thinking. And we're going that route again because we sort of forget our history, which is natural. And I would hate to see this city council make the same mistakes the city council made in the mid-80s and lose this opportunity to have a much greater tax base to do things that we want to do in the city. I'm a city Woodway resident. I want these things in the city. I grew up here. I want these things. And I want these opportunities. And if you cut off this opportunity to build the tax base, you cut off those opportunities. I don't want to see that happen again. I don't want to repeat history again. And we have a chance here to not do that. And I think just for the, you know, trying to shut down one subdivision, which is what this is all about, is not worth shutting down the development of the tax base of the entire city. And you guys have the opportunity to stop that, and I hope you do. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir.
Yes, sir.
Good evening. My name is Steve Sorrells. I reside at 407 Bosque Boulevard. I'm a builder and developer here in the area, having built out Badger Ranch. In response to some of these questions with regards to the moratorium, I have a question. Would a moratorium having been in place made one iota of difference with regards to the water usage, failure, and repair on the three city wells? The answer to that is no. In the midst of a big drought, but not even comparable to the drought of record that ran from 1951 to 1956, the city experienced three of its six wells having mechanical failures. These were not shortages in the capacity of water, but these were mechanical issues that caused the issue. The month of July's exceptional usage, which is three times the normal consumption, is largely due to purging of tanks and lines in association with these pump repairs. Having or not having new development or construction going on, which, by the way, uses very little water, and we make a very highly efficient new construction, would have zero impact on mitigating these failures. Second question I have is, will passing an impact fee to drill more wells add any additional water to Woodway's usage? The answer to that also is no. Drilling additional wells will not mean you can pump any more than Woodway's current allotment of 664 million gallons of water per year from the aquifer that it is currently allowed. This is a hard cap limit allotment, and simply adding more straws into the aquifer will not allow you to legally withdraw even another ounce from it. Next question, so what can we do? Because we're all concerned about our water. What can the city do to assure adequate reserves and water resiliency? And I will say what's already in place through our pretty cool local area that we have, the collaborative McLennan County Drought Contingency Plan and Water Resiliency Plan, is an outstanding resource that helps all of our surrounding communities work together to identify vulnerabilities, plan for responses, and mitigate impacts caused by weather events. Specifically, this document identifies opportunities for conjunctive use, working together with everybody else, tying together to other people. And it identifies specifically areas within Woodway to participate, and I would encourage Woodway's fullest cooperation with this program. Additionally, of course, the city has water surface water contract agreements with regional partners and allows for the city to expand its water capacity reach beyond the groundwater allotment. Through our foresight of our city forefathers, the original Lake Waco was built in 29, expanded in 1965, expanded again to its current capacity in 03. Additionally, we have water rights dating back to 1914 from the Brazos River, and we sit atop the Trinity Aquifer and the Brazos River Alluvium. And because of this foresight, good fortune,
Thank you, Mr. Sorrells. Thank
and
you.
Stewardship.
Thank you, sir.
Thank
We're
you very much. Appreciate
Thank
it.
Thank you.
Anybody else to address council at this time? Yes, ma'am.
Good evening. My name is Lori Witzel. I am not here to speak on the water issue. I have been asked to speak on behalf of Millie Woods as she is very sick tonight. This is it. My name is Millie Woods. I have been a resident of Woodway for more than a quarter century, which is longer than many of you on the council and staff have lived in Woodway. Therefore, I believe that I have a standing of the issues of the needs of Woodway residents and on the dispensation of the Old Family Center. I also believe that we, the elderly of Woodway, should be considered a protected class due to our limitations. I am truly thankful that the council has put an item on the agenda about getting bids on the remodeling of the Old Family Center. But I would like to remind everyone that Texas municipal procurement laws require a minimum of 3 bids for any such job. Also, we do not want, nor do we need, to change out everything in the facility, as the mayor mentioned in the Waco Tribune Herald. That would be a large and unnecessary expense for the taxpayer. In summary, I am saying that we should get bids only on what is needed according to the recommendations of an engineer. I do not want the residents to feel like they have been overcharged and underserved. I will be at every meeting until this issue has been voted on and approved. There has already been too much work done on unnecessary and overpriced projects. And I absolutely do not agree with putting us seniors in one room in the new family center. Now, if the mayor wants to do what is right and end discrimination of the elderly, he will convert the Old Family Center into a designated senior center, which will save a $3 to $4 million asset and save the taxpaying residents a considerable amount of money in the process. Let's please, please work together to make this a win-win for everyone in Woodway by providing a place for us seniors who make up half the total population of Woodway to meet and fellowship with our peers. We want this, we need this, and we deserve no less than this. Thank you for your attention, Millie.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Well, my name is Gary Gilman, and yes, I am related to Janelle Gilman. We've been for 59 years. I'm also an octogenarian, which makes me over 80, which makes me a senior citizen. I live on Broughton Drive and have for more than 40 years, so I have been a longtime resident of Woodway. At the last city council, a 2-page report was distributed. It is a report supposedly to be the condition report of the old family center, which actually is 12 pages. Now, I have distributed some 12-page copies. There are some available. I don't know how many are going to get one. But in the condition report, I might state this. In my 60-plus years of employment history, I spent over 30 years as a general contractor, a builder, a remodeler. I've built in Woodway and all the cities around here. I've remodeled in all these cities around here. So I read the report. The initial page that was provided us was copied and pasted out of the other full report. So I read the full report. I then visited both the old center and the new center this past week to kind of review this report. I will say that the condition report, the 11 pages of it, which are written in very small print, I had to use my glasses, covers every area except the roof and the foundation. They make a comment about the roof. When you look up, you can see the chicken wire and the degrading insulation. And on the foundation, they basically say, yes, there's a crack in the wall. It expands toward the top. They even provided a picture. Well, as a builder, when I see a crack that starts at the foundation and goes up, my first question is, uh-oh, I got a problem. I want to know something about that foundation. Now, I see that there's, I think it's item 8, where they're going to issue a look-see into this whole building. But I think that they need to look at it from the point of a resurrection rather than renovation. Because the building at this point in time was built in 1974, has a current value of $755,000, round figures, and is on the insurance of the city at $1.1 million plus $100,000 for the contents. So is it a $3 to $5 million building? I haven't seen the numbers that say that it is. It might be if it was in the condition of the new building.
Thank you, Mr. Gilman. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Commissioner Frost. Thank you. Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you. Are you getting ready? I thought you were handing out something for him.
No. My yes, name is Janet Smith, 8706 Panther Drive, and I'm also not going to speak about the building, the problems with the moratorium. I'm going to speak about the family center. At the last council meeting, we were handed a 2-page condition report regarding the family center. This was an edited version of the full report issued by the CPNY Construction Company in 2019, and it gives an incomplete analysis of their report. The council members have all been given the handouts as well as the full 12-page official report. CPNY Construction was tasked with identifying deficiencies and projects to enhance the service life of the family center. I'm referring to now the fourth paragraph on page one of the full issue. And I'm going to read it for the benefit of the audience. The building in its current state is not ADA, RTDL, or compliant as it pertains to accessibility. There are several issues that need to be corrected, both on the exterior and interior of the Family Life Center, in order to bring the building into compliance with these standards. Additionally, there are also a couple of life safety issues that should be addressed on the interior of the building. Modifications to existing spaces could trigger requirements for full compliance. Therefore, this report will attempt to identify easily identifiable accessibility deficiencies and provide some guidance as to the level and extent of improvements that would be made without triggering compliance with TDLR. Work that is construed as general maintenance of work will not trigger full compliance with TDLR. TDLR is the Texas Department of Licensing and Regulation, a state agency which requires a plan review and an inspection of projects where there are alterations to facilities and buildings where construction costs are $50,000 and above, like this one. And the purpose of TDLR is to protect the health and safety of Texans. I've worked for the state of Texas, and I know that TDLR makes changes to their governmental codes each year. So it's highly possible that many of these requirements have changed. The 2019 report infers that work done as general maintenance won't trigger TDLR compliance. Why do we want to avoid full compliance with the state? And shouldn't we have an engineer's analysis for the most current and accurate information about this building before a decision is made? Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
I'm David Fulbright. I live at 8272 Forest Ridge Drive here in Woodway. And I'm here to talk about the Family Center. What I saw is agenda item 9. I think there's up to authorize the city manager to go out for requests for proposals. So to me, I think, you know, we're skipping a bunch of steps, right? Normally you want to know what you're going to do with, you know, a building, a facility. Well, we've talked about, well, we could use it for a senior center because we don't have one yet. There's people that want to play pickleball there. You know, I don't know. It's a big building. It's a nice building. Actually, I just went through it with Dave and a few other gentlemen, and Dave here. A bunch of money was spent, I think in 2020, redoing the restrooms. So actually, where we were out of compliance in 19 on the restrooms, they may be in compliance now. Kind of looks like it. Don't know for sure. But a lot of money just got spent. The restrooms are nice restrooms. A lot better than a lot of the restaurants you go to. So my input is, you know, that we get a committee together of concerned citizens, and it looks like we've got a lot, and councilmen, and let's not put a timetable on it exactly, you know. Does it take a quarter, 3 months? Does it take 6 months? Let's find out what citizens of Woodway would like to do with that building. Maybe it becomes a lot of different functions. Once we know what we want to do with the building, then we can go out for proposals to redo what needs to be done to, you know, facilitate those uses. Right now, what, we want to go get proposals from some outside company that's going to make money on, and they don't know what we need in this community. We don't know for sure what all we'd like to do with that facility. So let's go form a committee. Let's go work it for 3 months or 6 months. Let's maybe even do surveys, whatever. But get all the information we can from as wide a cross-section of the community as we can. Then look at it and see, well, what would that really cost? Hey, we might be able to do everything we need to do in that building for, you know, $100,000, $150,000 and be able to meet what the citizens need. Right now, the HVAC is working, the plumbing is working. It's not leaking. Pretty nice building.
Thank you,
thank
sir.
You very much.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. My name is Gary Luft. I will be 76 years old in about 3 months. I have lived in Waco my entire life. I was a resident of Woodway for 46 years. I lived at 8501 Green Branch for 10 years. I lived at 200 Trailview for 34 years. I'm now living in on the golf course at on Windstone. I recently retired from the Heart of Texas Council of Governments. I was the Director of Health and Human Services for 17 years. One of the primary areas that I was responsible for was the Area Agency on Aging. Being a resident of this community for as long as I have, and this area for as long as I have, and seeing what has happened in our community, I want to commend you. I want to compliment you. The city of Woodway has done so many wonderful, good things for the youth and the young folks and the children in this community. You have the opportunity, based on your program agenda number 8, to look at possible use for the existing Woodway, for the old Woodway Family Center. I raised two children, my wife and I, Bonnie Luft, and I raised two children here. We went through these programs. My son and my daughter played in that facility multiple times. I coached there, loved what, and my son and my daughter have raised children that played there. We appreciate, we love what has happened there. You're commended for the new building that you've built and the function in which it's going to serve. You have the opportunity to do a similar type service for the seniors of this community that makes up a huge percentage of the population of Woodway, a huge percentage that has faithfully paid taxes and supported the endeavors for the youth and the young in this community. A community is looked at for a number of reasons. How do they treat their youth, and how do they treat their old? The elderly population and the young population. The middle, we, and I still consider myself young, we do what we can to support youth. We do what we can to support aging. I urge you, I commend you for what you've done.
Thank you very much. Anybody else to address council? Yes, sir.
Hi. Randy Reed, 275 Settler Creek Trail. I don't necessarily dispute the problem with the water. I think that there may be a better solution than a moratorium on a minority of developers and investors, which seems draconian. So I was looking at the city website today, and I noticed that you have water restrictions for 3 days a week. Waco has two. Hewitt has two. McGregor has two. All the way down to Harker Heights has two. So essentially, the potential is for a Woodway resident to use 50% more water on their yard than a Waco resident of the same size house and yard. I think the way to contribute to the problem is to let the entire community participate by simply changing your restrictions from 3 days to 2 days. Simple as that. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Yes, ma'am.
Hi, I'm Hello. Sandy Fulbright, and I live on Forest Ridge Drive here in Woodway, and I love Woodway. It's a wonderful place, and yes, we've done a lot of wonderful things for the youth here, everything that's been going on. And I'm here to talk about the senior center over at the existing building over here that I'm hoping we'll be able to make that the senior center for us seniors. I am a senior. I really am. And my parents are in their 80s, and I know how hard it is for them, some seniors, to get around. And if they have to walk too far, then they're not even going to be able to participate, you know, in the senior center at the new place, because I think it might be too far for them. And I think there's going to be some turnstiles in the new one, and I don't know how my dad and most of us seniors can get through those things with their walkers, wheelchairs, or whatever, canes. I think it's going to be very difficult to get them through those things, you know. And that concerns me, because I've worked with seniors for many, many years in my career, and I've just seen the difficulties they've gone through trying to get to places. And like my dad, he's 87. He lives by himself on his ranch in Leon County, and he goes to the senior center several times a week. And because a lot of that is because it's hard for him to just cook for himself. You know, he's just older and kind of weak. So it's nice for him to be able to go to these senior centers to have food and communication and have a relationship with other seniors, because a lot of these seniors have already lost a lot of their family members, lots of their friends, you know, have gone, and they want to have a place to commune together and, you know, make new friends and do things like play dominoes or whatever they want to do, play cards. And I just think if we spend millions of dollars to tear this center down that's already there, and I took a tour on it earlier today, and it looks so nice in there. The, you know, the bathrooms are redone, and you can easily get into those bathrooms, and it wouldn't take much to redo that building for way less, you know, money than building a whole new building. And then how long is that going to take? That concerns me. How long is that going to take us to build that thing? Seniors need a place now, and I've just been listening to the seniors for so long talk about these things, and not just here in Woodland Way, but lots of places. So I just hope that we can really come together and find a way to make this work without having to spend so much more of our tax dollars on that. Maybe we can use it for something else, you know, but I'm just grateful to be here, and thank you all for your time.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Madam. Yes, sir.
Good evening. I'm Kerry Lalani. I live at 16003 Torrey Springs here in Woodway. And I'm speaking to you tonight with a couple different hats, okay? The first is going to be a resident. As I mentioned, I live here in Woodway. My children go to school here in Woodway. My family goes to church here in Woodway. Woodway is our future. It's our present. It's our future. It's an incredible community to live in. The moratorium that Councilman Russell has floated is irresponsible. It's negligent. And it stands in the way of true economic progress. Okay. I need you to understand, we all need you to understand that as McLennan County is working with major employers across the country, and as they're looking at destinations for relocation, this does not help us. This is a huge, huge problem that we could be dealing with. Okay. Our firm owns, operates, and develops hotels. We have two parcels here in Woodway that are slated for about $30 million of hotel development over the next 36 to 48 months. The occupancy tax revenue that will be generated from that over a five-year period will be over $5 million. That's additional incremental revenue to the city of Woodway. That's a 7% return for nothing, right? For every dollar that's spent, 7 cents is generated to the city of Woodway. I want to urge our residents that if those on this city council will not get behind economic expansion and continue to put your own self-interest ahead of growing this community, of growing the tax base, we got to vote them out.
There you go.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Yes, ma'am.
Hi.
Hello.
My name is Nancy Goble, and I live at 14009 Horseshoe Circle. And I just wanted to just touch on two things. One of them is the family center. I was agreeing with that the lady about access for the seniors. My mom is in her 90s. She'll be 97 next month. And she's mobile to a point. And there's no other people her age that she can go and visit, because all she worked and retired from the government, and she, all of her friends have passed away. So it would be wonderful if she could just sit in a room with some other people that are in their 80s or 90s and converse and be able to get in and out of there with a walker. I do use a wheelchair when I can, when it makes it easier for her because of the distance, but those walkers are imperative, and we have to be able to give them the opportunity to go in and out. So I'm all for saving that building and using it for the things that we can do. I just think I'll throw this out there. If we can keep that building and make use of it, one of the things that I think would be a real treasure would be a Santa shop inside around the holidays, so that the elderly can come, they could shop for their children, their grandchildren, the kids could shop for their parents. We would offer wrapping and different things like that. So there's a lot of things that we can do that we could make that really, really family-oriented, but it would be for our seniors because they're underrepresented. The other thing I just wanted to touch on was I attended the farmers market here, and I was sorely disappointed. There is no walkway that goes all the way around to use as a walker, a baby carriage, a wheelchair, anything. All of it was grass or the whatever that those rocky little areas are. But none of the vendors faced the little bit that was there. You had to walk through the grass and up there. And I had so many people, parents, that were trying to pull those wagons or getting their children across with strollers, complaining because that was ridiculous in their opinion. And I agree with them. So I'm not sure what we can do about the Arboretum. If we're going to have the market there, we kind of need to reevaluate how people can get through there. Because I would go every time, but I can't go anymore because I want to take my mom. So I just thought I'd throw that out there, and maybe you guys could take a look at it or whatever. I'm not sure why it's during church either, but Waco's probably our competition, so that's probably why.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
My name is Jean Surrey. I live at 7717 East Fairway. And I was present at the previous council meeting on September 11th, and I had a couple of concerns about it that I wanted to share. When the agenda item from that number 6 was brought up for discussion and vote, this discussion did not stay on topic, even when some council members tried to redirect the discussion back to the topic at hand. And I would like to think that all council members would respect everyone's time at these meetings. My second concern is in reference to item number 8 on that agenda about an HOA for Starlight Estates. An attorney for that proposed subdivision spoke to this being against the city ordinance, and then our city attorney also said it was against the ordinance. However, 3 council members still voted in favor of our city to be on the wrong side of the law. I would like to thank the majority of the council who voted to keep our city out of a legal quagmire. Thank you for letting me speak.
Thank you, ma'am. Thank you. Yes, sir.
My name is Jimmy Banks, and I reside at 2913 South Old Robinson Road. I'm wanting to speak in opposition of also item number 7, the moratorium on new construction. I've been working in this county for, I believe, 37 years now, and a commercial real estate broker and developer, and have worked closely with the city of Woodway, on not only bringing commercial development out here, but bringing professional, nice, clean, Class A commercial development. We have a development currently underway, we have construction underway, and we also have another one in the pipeline that the city, I believe, has now that they are reviewing. So that being said, to me, that's almost like taking our talent and burying that talent and hoping that it fixes this water situation. I'm going to use my talents. I'm going to invest those and put those out there, and we have brought in property tax dollars, sales tax dollars, jobs, good jobs, good income paying jobs, and I just feel like that's ludicrous to even consider shutting down construction, be it residential or commercial or both. That's backing up. That's not moving forward, in my opinion. And I realize I want to give a lot of other people time, so I'm going to wind down. My phone number's on many signs in town. I'm easy to find. I'm happy to discuss this more with anybody or all of you at your convenience if you want to speak on it.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. Anybody else to address council at this time? Yes, sir. We'll get you next.
My name is Jeff Irwin. I'm 13068 Rainier. That is currently a lot. I'm a home builder, but that lot is going to be, I'm building it on it for my family. It will be our personal residence. And I say that, and I know it can get done because I have a permit as of 2 weeks ago, and there's a meter on site, so I'm safe. But what I would like you as council members to think of, whether you're leaning to this as a good idea or undecided or a bad idea, this affects people's lives. You've already heard the developers here who may not be able to put a tenant in their building. I can tell you over the years I've had many of my clients come to me after they've bought a lot, have somebody work on their plan, they have a full plan, they've even sold their house and moved into temporary housing so that they can afford to build their next house. And I can't imagine telling them at that point, well, no, you're just going to have to sit for who knows how long. So just know it affects contractors who make their livelihood, and all of a sudden something stops. But the other issue, which has been mentioned some here a little bit too, there's a lot of pitfalls in either moratoriums or the fees. I would ask you to talk to your city staff, talk to your city attorney, about what all's involved in trying to do something like that and the pitfalls of it. Also know that what has been mentioned here too is there are plenty of resources out there to figure out over the next 50 years how to manage water, how to manage all the resources. The houses we build these days are the most efficient houses in any city that have built in 10 years. So use those resources, use your city staff again to figure out how to manage, because it's an issue for all of Texas as people move into this state. How do we manage our resources? We manage ours on our home building because we now follow a code, just like a structural code. We have codes for energy. We have also codes for water standards and water efficiency. Thanks.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you, sir. Yes, sir.
Good evening, council. My name is Nate Landreth. I live at 1408 Covington Drive, just down the street. I am a homeowner, business owner, and a landowner of raw land on the lake that my wife, my three kids, and I all enjoy. All of that in Woodway. We vote in, we contribute to, my business pays sales tax in, we live in, and we love Woodway. I built our house a few years ago on Covington Drive, and my irrigation is 100% efficient because it is all drip irrigation underground, including under my grass. There is no water running down the street or getting lost in evaporation like my neighbors. My irrigation controller won't water if rain is in the forecast for the next day or if the rain sensor on the side of my house is even wet, remotely wet. It is vastly more water efficient when it comes to the highest use of water than older homes. That is the kind of technology that is standard in new construction because water waste is an issue Texas-wide, not just Woodway. We made a positive impact to this city with a water-efficient house that pays property taxes that should go towards well maintenance, and we would love for the continued growth to occur in Woodway for our enjoyment nearby and to the tax base for the well maintenance. As a family, we enjoy supporting our Woodway businesses that pay sales tax, including my own, to Woodway. And we would prefer more options closer, not all the new businesses going to Waco and Hewitt. I strongly oppose a pause on any building permits for the concern of water supply. From my understanding, the well issues were related to equipment malfunction, and our water supply hasn't even been a concern before three wells had simultaneously had equipment issues. I believe there are plenty of other ways that can address water supply as a community rather than blanketly stopping building in the city. For one, we have surface rights with the city of Waco if we had to pull that trigger, and we have other methods available. Some gentlemen mentioned the McLennan County connection. I would love to continue to build our next house on the land we purchased last year and make another positive, efficient improvement to this city for my kids' generation and their kids. Thank you all.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. Anybody else to address council at this time? Yes, sir.
Good evening. My name is Rick Tullis. I live at 1605 Oak Hollow Drive, right here in Woodway. And I want to express my appreciation to you guys. You guys have an incredibly fun but challenging job to be wise stewards over the resources of Woodway. I serve in a couple different ways in the community, and one of them that I want to bring to bear here to talk about the moratorium issue is I'm currently the public policy chair for the Greater Waco Chamber of Commerce. As you may or may not know, that the Greater Waco Chamber is the lead economic development agency for the county. It works with the county and the city in the surrounding cities in the community to attract new businesses to the community. It has been some incredibly successful last few years. I mean, we are seeing some term it a super cycle in economic development. And I would hate to see my city, my part of McLennan County, Woodway, make a short-term decision that would have some really poor long-term consequences to our community. You know, Woodway in particular needs to be in the game when it comes to the opportunities for economic development and growing the tax base and reducing, especially when I think of commercial and industrial, reducing the burden off the residential owners. So definitely would encourage you to not put a moratorium in place. You know, I'd also say from an engineering standpoint, I'm a professional engineer, I've designed many buildings, a lot of them even here. The benefits that you would get from the moratorium for the small amount of construction that would be diverted would be a rounding error, basically, on the water usage that the community sees in the short term. There are other ways to address droughts. Good news is, after every drought, there's a flood. Statistically speaking, you look at the historical record. So we're going to get rain again, and we can implement other strategies like storage and conservation, some of the other things that were talked about today. So thank you for listening. Appreciate
your
time.
Appreciate it.
Thank you, sir. Yes, ma'am.
My name is Sandra Carnes. I live at 9615 Bryce Drive. I've been here for 40 years, and I have seen the development of Woodway take leaps and bounds. What Woodway has always done is done a wonderful job for improving things for the youth, and they've always ignored the seniors. The seniors are living longer. They're active. They need stimulation. And I would implore you to not tear down this family center and make this a senior citizen. The seniors are major taxpayers, and pushing us aside in a cramped room with limited hours is not acceptable. You know, seniors are not lonely only between 9 and 3 during the weekday. It's like putting us in time out, and you're discriminating against us. This type of isolation contributes to depression, mental and physical decline. Y'all don't think so now, but you're going to be here one day. And hopefully you won't be at a city council meeting begging to have some facilities so you can go see people and have a peer base instead of being lonely. We deserve better than the dog bone that you're trying to throw us for the little room in the new facility. If you keep the family center we will come. Remember who pays your salary. The job is to represent constituents, not ignore us and push your own agenda. And I thank you for hearing me.
Thank you very much.
Anybody else? Yes, sir.
Good evening. Richard Maker. I live in Harbor, Woodway. Been here before to ask and talk about Liberty Hill Cemetery. In 1910, a five-year-old was buried there on Liberty Hill. Liberty Hill is pretty much around or near Brown House Cafe. It's been locked in behind homes, but it's still accessible. 1959 was the last burial, and it was shut down by, I would assume, a building department, because it was Woodway Development Center that took it to courts and shut it down. There are a lot of minorities that are buried there, back there. It's been overgrown for years. I'd like to let the community know that there's going to be a cleanup day on October 21st, starting at 10 a.m. until probably noon. Be respectful to the graves. Let them stay as they are. Let the professionals from Baylor University come in and clean up those. But the foliage can be cleaned up and hauled off, and at least the city can hopefully participate and have maybe a trailer there for that to be hauled off. I thank you for your time.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Anybody else? Yes, ma'am.
Hi there. My name is Fabrice Cavanaugh, 420 Woodfall Drive. I'm not here to talk about the water or anything like that. I would like for someone to look at the pickleball courts at Whitehall. I was there, and there were like 23 people playing over there. The lines need to be redone. The trees where the lights are need to be kind of cut down so we can see at night. And the bathroom at Whitehall need to be maintained. It's filthy. That's all I have to say. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
I want to make sure I get everybody who wants to speak. Okay. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Thank you.
My name is Dave Whitby, 1506 Wandering Trail. Seems like I talk every time I come here. But this moratorium is a response to us not doing our homework before we floated this as an idea. You got to come here and do your homework first.
Okay.
If you don't do your homework, then it is clearly just a lack of common sense that affects the entire community. These people come here, lots of them are professionals, lots of them are experts, they know what they're talking about. We didn't do our homework. Let's do our homework before we start affecting people's lives. You guys, I mean, we need to understand what the mayor's job is. The mayor's job is to facilitate and lead, right? His vote is one of you guys. So blaming the mayor or the mayor pro tem for stuff that's going on, their votes are the same as everybody else's vote. So whoever floats a ridiculous idea like this moratorium didn't do their homework. So I'm not sure exactly what we need to do as a community, as a city council, to bring forth the common sense that it takes to sit in those chairs. But you got to do your homework before you come and bring a bunch of West Coast politics into the city of Woodway. This is not California. We're Texas. We need to have Texas common sense ruling our governance. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Thank you very much. Yes, sir.
Good evening. My name is Mark Furman. I'm with Beard Colgin. I'm here on behalf of the Heart of Texas Builders Association this evening, and as a concerned citizen that lives here in Woodway. This discussion of a moratorium on development, I agree with Mr. Whippy, is premature. It would set a horrible precedent and cannot legally be as broad as the agenda item suggests. Nowhere in the city of Woodway's drought contingency plan is a moratorium on development contemplated, much less mentioned. Instead, the drought plan focuses on curtailing outdoor and non-essential uses such as watering your yard or washing your car. Currently, we are in stage two, which are moderate restrictions. Despite hints that we would enter stage three this summer, that hasn't happened. Thankfully, we've had some recent rains. A moratorium at this point is not justified under either the city's own drought plan or under current circumstances. The local government code addresses when a municipality like Woodway may impose a moratorium on a new development. It is a difficult thing to do, and for good reason. This requires public hearings, and contrary to the suggestion in the Waco Trib by Councilman Russell, it does require the passage of an ordinance, as well as written justification that is reasonably available and that would take a long time to assemble. If one half of the city's pumps that were down in August and September was not enough to do anything other than require voluntary reductions, I can't imagine a circumstance which would be justified for a moratorium now. In 2013, the Supreme Court of Texas held that the city of Lorena, who's the only one who tried a moratorium in this state that I'm aware of, on new sewer taps was invalid. A moratorium could not be placed on developments that have already been approved, including for subdivision and construction. So places like Tanglewood, not going to impact them. The local government code also prohibits the application of a moratorium for projects that have already applied for the platting process or zoning changes that are in process. To impose a moratorium on approved projects would be against the law, would harm developers and builders that have invested significant capital in Woodway. Despite the strong protections of the code, I'm concerned, as another resident mentioned, because I sat here last council meeting and witnessed Councilman Keystone, Councilman Aveman, Councilman Russell vote on a motion contrary to the advice of the city attorney. Everyone in this room that's a citizen of Woodway should be concerned when you have council members that are ignoring the legal advice that you're paying for. Every single one of you, whether it's political pandering or whatever, you should be concerned. No other city appears to be considering such a drastic action such as a moratorium. How many jobs would be lost or negatively impacted by a moratorium? Some want to spend millions to renovate the family center, and maybe that's a worthy goal. You fund things like that by expanding your base and growing. So the only way you can do things like improvement projects and infrastructure is if you want to raise the taxes on the people that are in this room, if you're not going to expand and grow, and I don't think anybody likes taxes or paying them. Most importantly, how would a moratorium fit in with the vision of Woodway Forward? You can't attract new opportunities if you tell developers you're closed for business.
Thank you, sir. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Is there anybody else who would like to address council at this time? Yes, ma'am. Hi, good evening.
My name is Lisa Monroe. I reside at 112 Hoffmeyer Lane in Robinson. My business partner, Jimmy Banks, spoke a few minutes ago. I'm co-owner in Trilogy Group. We've developed a lot of property that you've seen in the Woodway area. We love developing in Woodway. We always have loved developing in Woodway. We want to continue developing in Woodway. You obviously, if you just had a raise of hands who in this room that are against the moratorium, it's obviously very clear. What I want to offer to you is you have so many resources at hand, whether it's commercial real estate brokers, if it's Rick Tullis, engineers, so many resources here that can help resolve this problem and figure out another way to get to where we need to be and continue development for the city to grow and to continue those taxpayer dollars coming in and those jobs coming in so that we don't stop that increase that Woodway wants to maintain and continue. And so I just want to challenge all of you members, reach out to the resources that you have and let's find a way to make this a win-win for the city of Woodway, your developers, your residents, everyone that can actually continue the well-being of Woodway. While I'm here, just a minute, my parents are seniors. They live in Woodway. We think that there are facilities here. We have reutilized and redeveloped so many existing buildings. Again, use those resources that you have to actually make those things a benefit and something that's cost-effective for the city to do, and continue to help the citizens of the community enjoy the community. Through the development that has happened so far in Woodway, you guys have a gorgeous arboretum. You have gorgeous buildings there that funded these developments, and what has happened has funded those things. Let's continue to do that. I'm available to be on a committee to help. I want you to know we'll be the hands and the knowledge that we can provide to help find a win-win on this and not create a moratorium to stop what's going on, because when it stops, it's really, really hard to get restarted. And that's coming from a developer and real estate agents and commercial agents that have worked so hard to get this ball rolling. Thank you.
Thank you, Mayor. Anybody else? Okay, there being none, I will close the public comment at this time at 6:37 p.m. Thank you for all of your comments this evening. We're going into our public hearing and related action section of the agenda. Item 4A is a public hearing on application to develop in a planned district remodel of existing storage building for Lot 9, Block 4, Business Acres Addition to the City of Woodway, McLennan County, Texas, located at 216 Deb Avenue. Mr. City Manager, do you have any comments before I open the public hearing?
I'll just make all my comments now, if it's okay, Mayor.
Yes, sir.
If we can bring up slide 6, this is the location of the application to develop at 216 Deb. You see the two sets of buildings in, at the bottom of the red square. Those are the two that he will remodel, and where the red square is are the units that he will be new construction on. And that should total on the new construction about 67 storage units on that site. This is zone planned industrial. This is the third and final step for the application to develop. Upon approving this after the public hearing, if you do, then the applicant will move to a site development application side where he may or may not have any waiver requests for you to consider. Thank you.
Very good, sir. Thank you, Mr. Manager. At this time, I'll open the public hearing at 6:39. Is there anybody to speak in favor of this project?
Well, it's my project.
We are not remodeling the existing buildings.
If you don't mind, if you could just give us your name for the record.
Oh, I'm sorry. Sam Griffin, 201 North 38th.
Thank you, sir.
Okay. Got wind up.
You got excited. It's okay.
The red area, that's half of it. The other area is on this side of those two buildings, okay? And we're going to put in about 60-some-odd units. About 15 of them are going to be oversized. They're going to be 15 feet wide, 25 feet deep. There is a definite a need for that, and there's a definite need for storage. I'll point out that the positive side is no traffic, no water problems, very little electricity needs. The only negative is to me, and I pay property tax, which is positive for y'all. Thank you.
Thank you for that.
Anybody else to speak for this this project? All right. There being no other request to speak in favor. Anybody to speak against? Okay. There being none, I will close the public hearing at 6:40 p.m. Thank you all. Item 6B is discussion and consider action on application to develop in a planned district remodel of existing storage building for Lot 9, Block 4, Business Acres Addition to the City of Woodway, McLennan County, Texas, located at 216 Deb Avenue. Motion to discuss, please.
I'll make a motion to discuss.
I'll second.
It's been moved and seconded. Thank you all. Mr. Manager, anything further?
Mr. Griffin, I'm sorry. I saw in your application where you had remodeled on it, so I apologize for that.
All right. Council, any discussion or questions for the applicant?
Everything looks good from my standpoint. This should be an easy one.
All right. I'll entertain a motion on item 6B, please. 4B, excuse me.
I move that we accept the application to develop in a planned district for Lot 9, Block 4, Business Acres Addition to the City of Woodway, McLennan County, Texas, located at 216 Deb Avenue.
I second that motion.
Thank you. It's been moved and seconded. I'll now call for the vote. All those in favor, please say aye.
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 All opposed, please say nay. The ayes have it, and the motion carries unanimously. Thank you all. Thank you, sir. Moving on to our items for individual discussion, consideration, and or action. Item number 5 is discussion and consider action on resolution R-23-16, a resolution of candidate nominations for the McLennan County, for the McLennan Central Appraisal District Board of Directors for the year 2024. May I have a motion to discuss,
please? I'll second.
Okay, Keyston's got it, and then Russell. Thank you. Mr. City Manager, number 5, please.
Thank you. As you called out, it's now known as the McLennan Central Appraisal District by the past legislation, which it used to be the McLennan
okay.
County.
That's good to know.
One and the same.
Got it.
But this is for 5 open positions, 1-year terms. Before on or before October 30th, the chief appraiser will prepare a ballot listing the candidates that we have turned in, and each taxing unit will cast their votes. And at a future meeting, this will be discussed on who the winners are. Eligibility is in your packet, but it's basically living inside the appraisal district boundaries within the last 2 years, and you serve a 1-year term. Just so you'll know, it's based on the values of the properties that you have, and so you will be awarded 61 votes. There are entities like Waco Independent School District that have 950 votes, so you're not going to be able to, cast 5 candidates and expect them all to win. There are some communities, because of their values are so low, they can't even incrementally get a vote. And there's probably 6 or 8 of those. But page 18 in your packet has other eligibility duties. But right now, for tonight, what we're asking you for is to come up with 1 or 5 names, if you can, and Ms. Barkley will turn them in a timely manner to be considered for vote.
Thank you, Mr. Manager. Can these be any individuals that we, or do we have to talk with them first?
You can recommend somebody and then they'll be considered, and if they make it all the way through, they can be given consideration. Or you can nominate them tonight and call them, and in the meantime, they can make it all the way or not.
I'd like to see if we can nominate Mr. Moss for this for one of these
spots.
Yeah,
we were just saying yes. He'd be perfect.
Yeah.
Are you okay with that? Anybody, any other nominations? Oh, sir.
We're good. I was just making sure procedure. So we need 4 more.
Guys, we'll take 4 more. Nominate if anybody has anybody that'd like to.
I was going to nominate Dwayne anyway.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think most of us was going to nominate Dwayne, so I don't know if we can do it 5 times.
I think we can. I think we can. Because we could put all of our 60 votes toward one.
Well, it wouldn't matter if you nominate him 1 time or 5 times. You give him they have to come back. He may not get the nominations.
Okay.
Out of just the 5, because this goes into the total pool for all the participants. So
in other words, we could nominate 5 people and none of them might get it.
That's what's happened the last 5 years that I've been. No offense to Mr. Miles,
but I think that's the best.
We don't have the swing votes.
Does anybody have anybody else that would like to? Does anybody have anybody else that comes to mind? Okay. When do we need to, like, if we think of somebody else, can we nominate them later, or does it have to happen right now?
Mr. Shaw?
When does it have to be in? That's another question.
October 15th.
So we'll have another. No, we'll.
Our next meeting's the 16th.
Yeah. That's
okay. Well, let's saying. Just. If nobody has anybody else, we can just put Dwayne on there.
Last year and the previous year, we didn't come up with five.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, Dwayne. It is Dwayne for Woodwind. Got it. All right. Well, let's do an action then. Let's do a motion to nominate Mr. Moss for the. Actually, I'll just do it because I'm already talking. So I'll make it easy on everybody. So I would like to move that we appoint Dwayne Moss to the McLennan Central Appraisal District Board of Directors for the year 2024.
Mayor, is that not appoint, nominate?
Nominate. I would like to nominate Mr. Dwayne Moss to the McLennan Central Appraisal District Board of Directors for the year 2024.
I'll second that.
It's been seconded. Thank you. I'll call for the vote. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed, please say nay. No nays. The ayes have it, and the nomination carries. Thank you very much. All right. Well, we're moving on to item number 6, which is discussion and consider action on amending Ordinance 23-09 to reflect the correct management and operations, M&O, and income and sinking, INS, tax rates as filed with the McLennan County Tax Office. Motion to discuss, please.
I'll make a motion to discuss.
All set.
Moved and seconded. Thank you all. Mr. Manager, number 6, please.
This is really a house cleaning error on my part from the August 28th meeting when we set the tax rate, and from that, the maintenance and operation rate was broken out, and the interest and sinking rate was broken out. We are not changing the set tax rate of 0.373701. But when the documents were turned in, it listed what I said for the record was at that meeting, the tax rate was going to be 0.373701 with an M&O rate of 0.35492 and an interest and sinking rate of 019109. But when the paperwork got turned in, there was an error. And the M&O rate was posted at 0.354911 and INS rate of 0.018790. And you wouldn't think it would matter much because of the tax rate being set, but it matters to some people. So we're just going back and clarifying what I had previously read into the record. We're asking you to approve this. Have the tax rate stated with an M&O of 354592 and an INS of 019109. You're just correcting the documents that were turned in for the county.
Okay. So if anybody wants to make a motion, we have to say the numbers, the allocation correctly.
I got a little bit dizzy. Can we get
those
numbers right, Brenda?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Yeah, there are numbers, so long numbers, so we have to make sure that we get it right. Any discussion, Council? Okay, I'll entertain a motion, please.
I'm trying to find the page.
Okay, I'll take this on.
Yeah. Okay, you got the page in front of me?
Okay, got it. All right, I move that we amend Ordinance 23-09 to reflect the correct management and operations, M&O, should I say, from the old amount to the new amount, or just the new amount?
Either would be fine.
Okay. 0.354592 and income in sinking at 0.019109 tax rates as filed with McLennan County Tax Office.
Very good.
Okay.
I think that'll work.
And just so Council's clear, we're correcting the ordinance. What was submitted to the county was correct. So they have the right rate. We're correcting our ordinance to match what the county shows, which is the right way to do it.
All right, it's been moved by Councilwoman Cook.
I second that.
It's been moved, seconded by Councilwoman Gilman. I'll now call for the vote. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed, please say nay. The ayes have it, and the ordinance is amended. Thank you all very much. Moving on to item number 7, this is discussion on possible future action on a temporary moratorium on all building permits for housing or business that will require a water meter installation while the City of Woodway and the City of Waco are under water restrictions. Motion to discuss, please.
I'll make a motion to discuss.
I'll second.
It's been moved and seconded, and I believe this item is Mr. Russell, so I'll pass it over to you, sir.
Okay, appreciate it. Well, we had 23 people speak tonight. 14 was against the moratorium. Most of them was builders that some of them don't even live in Woodway, but that's okay. They wanted to protect their income. I can understand that 100%. I'm concerned for the 9,300 citizens that are here in Woodway that maybe does not want to increase their restrictions and go to a larger restriction. Now, tonight's vote is for a possible future action on temporary moratorium, because what I understand, like some of the builders said, that it must be posted for 12 days in advance, unlike our standard 72 hours that we do on most other things. If we do pass this on our next meeting, it will be a temporary moratorium. I know some of the people was acting like it was a permanent one, but it will only be enforced as long as we're still in restrictions, or the restrictions are lifted is when it would come off for the City of Woodway and Waco, because we do get a percentage of water from Lake Waco. I personally believe we should vote yes, just because we can put it to the next meeting for a larger debate. David Cherry had emailed all of us, and he used to be a city attorney for Woodway. He was supporting it and said that there is precedent for it, because at one time there was a sewer issue that couldn't meet the building needs, and there had to be a moratorium for this. Now, I can go into the percentages if everybody wants to know them, but Lake Waco right now is up to 57.2% full. At the first of the summer, we was at 70%. Now, only God knows when we're going to get rain, how much we're going to get rain. I pray that we get enough rain that this moratorium is the shortest one in history, because I agree with the builders. We don't want to do it. But at the same time, if we have 3 months like we just had, we could see a 50% capacity of Lake Waco. Lake Belton is even worse. We get water from Lake Belton also. I'm all ears for possibilities, but I think it's a little like when you're driving into a storm, you got to slow down because you got an issue. I wish we had a storm right now, but what we do have is a very serious situation on water. As he said, we are in stage 2, and people are watering less, but we are hearing from people saying, why are we building houses when they actually have to put a lot of water on their new yards and their new shrubs and all the other stuff. And the citizens here already is having to cut back and possibly lose their yards. So it's a discussion. But I really would prefer to have this move to the next situation. Also, we talked about, or some of the builders talked about, none of the other cities are doing this. Well, I think one of the reasons is they want to deal with that. But we're leaders, we're not followers, and we don't cow down to situations. We actually say, what is the solution? I'm all ears if we got another solution. But I can tell you, we got a water issue going on right now. You look at the lake and you see it. Is it early? Maybe. But we need to be talking about it. So far as the other options, it was a floated idea, and maybe we need to look at it. I don't know what a water tap costs now versus the other cities. Maybe we're too low on it. I do believe that what we heard from, which I take all their information to heart, but what we heard from is people that is concerned about their business, and we've got 9,300 people here that's concerned about their water. And when you weigh the two of them, you kind of have to say, these 9,300 people, someone's been here since 1955 or whatever, should get a little bit heavier weight on them because we don't want to have a water issue. So that's my whole spiel.
I have a question. Would it be possible to frame this or put it in a framework where the moratorium would be triggered if we got below the 50% threshold?
I'm okay with that.
I mean, would that make more sense as opposed to just arbitrarily saying, you know, let's have a moratorium? Maybe if, you know, okay, we're in dire straits and we're not getting the rain we need, and you know, we do dip below that 50%, then it might further illustrate the dire need at that point.
Well, my understanding of our drought contingency plan is that it's mostly triggered by our well levels. Is that correct? More than the Lake Waco levels? Okay. And we have a 5-stage plan, and building moratoriums are not even listed in the emergency level. And that was a very, you know, well thought out plan that we are currently, that's our current ordinance.
Another way of limiting the moratorium, when David Cherry emailed all of us and said there was a moratorium pending the completion of a sewer line. When was that done, and how long was that moratorium?
I think it was in the
late 80s.
Yeah, I don't think he listed it, but it sounded like it was somewhere in the late 80s.
I do think that sewer and water systems are
different.
A little bit different.
Yeah, I think that's what Lorena had to do their moratorium because of sewer. And that was mandated. They didn't do it by themselves.
Is the city of Waco moving toward a moratorium?
I haven't heard of that.
No. They're considering moving to stage 3 of their drought contingency plan, but that also does not include a moratorium. And their stages are not one-to-one with ours, so even though we did move to stage 2 following them, my understanding is that it's not quite the same thing moving to stage 3 for us as it is for them, again, because theirs are triggered by the lake levels and ours is triggered by the well levels. And even though we did go through some difficulties recently with our wells, that is not a concern of ours right now. It's not a dire issue.
What is the percentage? I'm sorry, go ahead.
So my question would be, my question would be is, where is this consumption coming from? And I understand, yes, there's going to be a little bit of consumption from builders and things of that nature, but I think that's probably negligible. The bigger question I have is, and I have a big yard, and this is going down. You know, I feel you. I mean, I'm a resident too. I feel you. But at the end of the day, I've made a conscious decision to, on my days of watering, only water so much, because there's nothing in the rules that say that I can't. At the end of the day, consuming water is up to us as an individual, because we can turn that thing on in that time frame and just let it run. And there's nothing in the ordinance, there's nothing in our standards that say, you can't do that. So if we're talking about conservation of water, it starts with us first. I don't think we ought to put that burden on the developers when they're not going to use that water like we use it. They're going to put in a meter, and that meter is going to consume water based on who's living there. Mm-hmm. So I just don't think that. And the second point that I'm sitting here thinking about, I was like, I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but I'm going to say something.
Okay.
And so what we tell people, stop having kids, because when you start having kids, you're gonna consume water. I mean, at the end of the day, people are going to consume water. So if we want to control how much water consumption, then we got to, you know, start thinking about some crazy stuff, right? No, we can't think about that in those terms. Are we going to tell people that you can't move here and buy a house that's already existing because it's been vacant for a year or 3 months or 10 days because we don't want you to consume water? So what is the next step?
All right. Thank okay. you.
First
Thank
of
you
all, your, on the moving comments. Here, that wouldn't be part of the moratorium because, you know, it's not a new.
As far as the children. Well, what I'm saying is this. We're talking about water consumption.
Yeah, but we're talking about.
No, we're talking about water consumption, David.
Well, okay,
at the end of the day, okay, water consumption, no matter where it comes from somewhere.
Now you're interrupting me.
Yes, sir.
Okay. We're talking about water taps. So a regular home that's for sale that's been vacant will have a water tap. You're talking about how, as far as usage, how much does a new home water use for the new yard? I would imagine it would probably be 2-to-1 versus an existing home.
How much does a new home water consumption go down because they have a more efficient hot water heater, they have a more efficient system, they have a lot of things that are technology-wise that are more efficient than an older home.
You're interrupting me again, but that's okay.
You asked me a question.
My question is a yard takes a lot of yard, a lot. And we had mentioned, someone had mentioned about a hotel. Now, you have 300 rooms, you probably have 300 toilets. I don't know how many rooms it's going to be in that, but there's going to be a lot of water consumption. So I'm just trying to figure out, is this the time? I wanted the discussion of, is this the time for it? If we get to a certain point, do we need to adjust an ordinance and or adjust the our emergency plan for water? It just seems like this would be a common thought that we need to, number one, discuss it, just like we're doing now, and find out, how are we going to make sure that the city of Woodway residents has the water it's needed? And, I mean, it might be a little, oh, it's mine attitude, but it's, do we stop the new coming in temporarily, only temporarily, until we get more water? I pray that God gives us plenty of rain, and this is the shortest thing ever if we was to approve it. But this is what we wanted to talk about.
Are you done? Are you done?
Sure.
Okay. I just want to. Yep. Hang on. Okay. We'll have a response here, and then we'll get you.
Yeah.
Mr. Williams.
Somewhere in that conversation that you just had, I still keep hearing the word consumption. Maybe I'm just crazy. You're talking about a water tap, but you started talking about water that's being consumed. So that's my point, and that is, if we're going to talk about water consumption, you can't just talk about a tap and just leave it at that. The tap is there for a reason. And the reason why the tap is there is because we need to be able to get potable water to use it. And if we're going to use that potable water, we have to understand that it's going to affect someone. So again, we get back to consumption. And do we want to be a community that says that, as one gentleman said, we're not open for business. We don't want you here. We don't want you to come. And if we want to be that community, then let's start with ourselves first and say, let's pass a law or let's pass an amendment to our current situation that says that we're going to go down to 2 days and we're going to monitor how much water that you use. And if you use more than what you should, we're going to fine you. Mm-hmm. Because that starts with us. Consumption starts with us. Yes, it does start with the business as well, and they have to be responsible in that regard. But at the end of the day, we still are talking about consumption of water. And there are other ways in which we can get to moderating what the consumption is. And I know I'm throwing out some really crazy stuff, folks, and I apologize for that. But I'm trying to make a point. it's not just about the business that is causing potentially a problem with the water shortage. That's not it. It's consumption.
I hear you.
So the question is, how do we deal with consumption?
Can I answer that? Are you asking for more restraints? I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Are you? No, I'm not asking for more restraints. I'm just saying that.
I just want to make sure we don't interrupt.
I'm not asking for more restraints. I'm just saying that if we really are talking about consumption, there are other ways in which we can deal with this issue outside of saying we're going to stop people from being able to do business.
And what is that? Your status?
Well, it could be a variety of things. Stop having
what,
kids.
What are the options? I won't be having more kids, yeah. I promise you.
Mayor?
Yes, sir.
Let me tap into to what John is saying. Look, the more simple economic answer is to charge heavy consumers more for the water that they consume. And so I would hope, in addition to talking about a moratorium, which would fall more heavily on builders, of course, we should also talk about perhaps a temporary increase for water use for heavy consumers.
Okay. Well, good discussion. I just want to get everybody's feel before we go to the vote. Make sure that everybody has a chance to talk. We're at stage two right now. We have a drought contingency plan. The item for tonight is to only discuss the possibility of a future action on a moratorium, and I'm going to vote no to that. I'm going to vote no on the moratorium. I'm not going to stop economic progress that adds to our tax base, and if it gets to DEFCON 5, stage 5, we can revisit this, but I'm not going to stop the progress that's needed in Woodway to benefit our residents. Also want to add several of the folks who spoke tonight in opposition are Woodway residents. We get hammered up here for not listening to our residents. We've got some who are begging us not to take away their livelihood. How else are we going to vote? These are folks who work hard in our community. These are folks who deserve a shot just like everybody else. And if you're asking me to stop Woodway residents from making a living, it's not happening. I'm voting no.
Can I respond to that? We're not saying
Mr. Keystone had a comment.
Is it possible, because, you know, this isn't an independent arena where we each get to vote unless we make a motion. Can we motion to table this discussion and resume it when we perhaps acquire some more facts that we can take some of the emotion out of this and put some more of the reason into it?
I'd like
to make that motion if it's possible.
And I'd second it.
I would second that.
Still have more discussion.
Great.
But
we're not there yet.
Do you have anything?
Cost versus benefit is what I keep thinking and hearing this. And the cost of shutting it down for the benefit is not there. It's just not there. We're not in a crisis situation. We're not even heading toward a crisis situation. We just had some good rain, and it's going to continue. Cost versus benefit.
Thank you. Councilwoman Cook? I'll respond to that.
I was just going to respond. Our good rain, I agree, is wonderful. It moved 0.1% up on our lake from last night. It was 57.1% full, and it moved up to 57.2%. I'm thankful for everything, but, you know, I'm just concerned.
Councilwoman Cook, may I ask a question before you have your comments?
Yes, sir.
Mr. Norman, could you tell us, do we rely more on the lake or more on well levels?
That's a good question.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. It's a good question. It really depends on the time of year, but we are pretty close to 50-50 during the intense summer months. During the winter, we try to scale back, and we try to go as much on just our wells as we can in the winter. But at summertime, it's usually at least 50-50.
Okay.
During those times.
But in the summer, it's 50-50. Mm-hmm. The rest of the year, it's more.
As best we can. I hate to say that it wasn't sometimes. There's a lot of things that go on with that figure, but yeah, we try to scale back to wells as much
as possible. What's our best percentage for wells?
I can get you all numbers, but it's hard to get to that number without actually looking at the data.
Oh, and I'd like to add one more thing you were talking about. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
The mayor was talking about we're taking away livelihoods. We're not voting in all the different cities in McLennan County. We're just voting for here. It's leadership, but I'm thinking that it's something that we ought to consider, and that's what this discussion's about.
Okay. Not worth it to me, but okay. Councilman?
Well, I asked that same question about the percentages of what we draw from our wells and what is from the lake, and I was given that the percentage that the goal is 60% from our wells and 40% from the lake in a good time, but again, it does fluctuate. But I think multiple people brought up this statute from the local government code that the moratorium requires public hearing, but also that it requires written findings supported by evidence justifying the moratorium. And so I'm just wondering, from a staff perspective, I'm asking this to our city manager, that do you feel there is justifiable evidence for a moratorium?
At this point, this is a request from one of the council members, but it wasn't a staff request. So
right, I understand.
Based on how you're asking it, no.
Okay. You do not feel like, based on your knowledge of our water infrastructure, that there is justifiable evidence for the moratorium? No. You're saying no.
Can I ask a question?
Mayor Pro Tem, of course.
So, John, how long does it take for our aquifer to recharge, and where does this
another good question.
This water come from when you talk about recharging the well?
As far as the well, I mean, from what I've seen,
qualify the question. The reason why I'm asking this question is because a council member just said it. Well, we got a lot of rain, but it was only so much that raised the lake. So, is that a static number, or does that change over time?
I can tell you in the last, let's say, 15 years that I've been here, yes, we have. There's been a couple of wells that we've actually lowered a little bit where we draw from. But overall, yes, they say the aquifers are dropping. But overall, we haven't lowered our pumps much lower than they've been since I've been here. And it all comes from underground, yes, which we're all happy when it rains in Stephenville in the lake.
But groundwater runoff, impervious cover,
yes,
all these kinds of things that help recharge the aquifer. And by that, we're talking about the well as well.
Yes, sir.
So it can take time.
It definitely takes time, yes, sir.
It's in Trinity 2, isn't it? In our wells on Trinity 2 aquifer.
Yeah, we've got quite a few. Yeah.
I mean, are any of them in Trinity 1 that you know of?
I'm sorry?
Our six wells, are they all in Trinity 2 or any of them?
They're all in the same aquifer, yes, sir.
Okay.
No, yeah. There's no separation.
1,800 feet down, roughly.
Not exactly where we're pumping from, but yes, most of the wells are pretty close to that depth, in depth of how deep we drilled them. Yes, sir.
Mayor, you have a motion on the floor that has been seconded.
All right, let's just make that official for the record, please, do it again.
Yes, I just wanted to make a motion to table this discussion so we could get some more information and perhaps some statistics on our water resources relative to, you know, instituting a moratorium. Nobody really wants to do that.
Agreed.
But, you know, they just don't. I mean, I don't think any of us want to do it. But I think as responsible citizens, I'm sorry, I'm rambling
on. That's okay.
But that's the reason I want to table this, so we can get some more accurate information. So
capturing the motion to table this item.
Correct. Yes.
Okay.
Correct.
All right. It's been seconded by Mr. Russell.
I seconded it.
Seconded by Mr. Avant. Okay.
Can I ask some clarification about what that means as far as tabling it? Does it mean that we're just bringing it forward and asking for more information.
It's essentially the same thing.
Okay.
Indefinite, though, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. So it's his motion is basically accomplishing this item. Because we're not taking action.
I need to wrap my head around that.
We're not taking action. We're talking about discussion for the possibility, and
okay. So I just want to be super clear. So if I vote for yes,
we'll bring it up again.
Well, means it brings it up again.
Maybe in 6 months. Maybe never.
A vote no means we are against a moratorium, and we do not even feel like it needs to be discussed.
It stops tonight. Right. It stops tonight. Yeah. Yeah.
Thank
well,
you.
Well, and to be clear, you can always raise the specter of a moratorium again if circumstances warrant. It's not like you could never vote on a moratorium henceforth forevermore.
Correct.
Okay, I just want to make sure that I understand the.
So we've got a live motion on the floor. Do you understand? Are you good?
I feel good.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right, so we've got a motion to postpone this item. It's been moved by Mr. Keeston, seconded by Dr. Avant, Councilman Avant. I'll now call for the vote. All those in favor, please say aye.
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 All opposed, please say nay.
Nay. Nay.
The motion fails. I'll entertain, I guess that's it.
That's it for that one.
Okay, excellent. The motion fails, and item 7 is done. Thank you all very much. All right, moving on to item number 8. We'll give folks a second to leave here.
Yeah, half of our audience left.
Does anybody need water?
We're almost done here.
Yeah, I hope so.
Yeah, this isn't going to be 10 o'clock. Thank you all.
All right, item number 8 is discussion.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Sorry. Item number 8 is discussion, consider action on authorizing the city manager to issue a request for proposals to renovate the existing Woodway Family Center. Motion to discuss, please.
I'll make a motion.
Talk about interrupting.
Yeah, well, we're trying to be good.
Yeah.
It's been moved and seconded. Thank you.
It's a stream of consciousness.
Yeah.
No comment. All right. Councilwoman Gilman, I believe this is your request, so I'll pitch it over to you, ma'am.
All right. First of all, let me say I'm not against it. Senior center of such. But I think we're trying to make a decision without having enough information. Kind of reminds me of buying my son a car. He's got an old car, and he keeps coming to me and saying, I want to use the old car. And I'm going, well, you got a new car. Yeah, I know, but I know how to drive that other car. Well, we got a new car. Let's give it a chance. Let's see how well you do, how well you like it, and how well it fits your needs for your friends and all the activities that are planned for it. But the old one has all the memories that I had when I was growing up, and that's fine. We can keep the old one, son, if you will give an estimate on it as to what it needs to make it work. Because if it's just going to sit in the yard and not work, then we're wasting our money. I feel like we've got a new center. We have activities planned. It's a really great center. And it's not to say that we won't have senior adult center or senior adult activities. But without getting the proper plan for the old center, we don't really know what the wise decisions are to make. And I do want to caution that there are laws about a designated senior center where we would have to bring in authorized people that had CPR people on staff that would have to work that center and be in that center at all times. The cost, we need to look at the cost. What's the cost of running a second car, if you will, a separate building, if you will? What are we looking at? And if we have that building, would we not want to use that for other activities too, if we're going to remodel it and fix it up and make it work? I mean, there's just all kinds of questions. But we need to start where we are today, and we've got a new center with new programs, new plans, taking in a lot of the concerns without giving it a chance to work. In the meantime, if everybody really wants to look at the old center, then we need to get a current, up-to-date proposal. That last proposal was done in 2019, I believe. A lot's happened since 2019. The building industry has really been affected. I'm not so sure that some of the things that have been stated have been done in the old center really have been accomplished other than putting paint on the walls. And there's things that have to be looked at from various angles. And oh, by the way, let's give the new center a chance.
Thank you, Councilwoman Gilman, for that introduction. Council, any discussion on this item?
Yes.
We're requesting, it's an item to request proposals for renovating the existing Woodway Family Center.
Of course, you know I won't be talking. Sorry. I'll try to make it short.
It's okay.
Nine people spoke today about this. Seven people spoke in favor of saving the Family Fun Center, the old one. Two against it. The two that was against it was the mayor's mother-in-law and a councilman's husband. The seven that saved it, I don't think is connected to anyone here on the council. I'm glad to see that this item is on the agenda, but I think the wording of this is way too vague, because the wording of authorizing the city manager to issue requests for proposals to renovate the existing building, Woodway Family Center, is a recipe for contractors to come in and give incredibly large bids. I think we need to really focus on what needs to be done versus ripping everything out and starting over. I'm also asking for bids only on the items that need repair. We don't want to rip out all the AC if we only need an air handler and a few other things. We don't need to replace all the electric in there if everything works. I think we do need to add ducting to the concession room. Trying to get back to this because we've already gotten away from it a little bit. When the building was built in 1974, five different days, everything passed inspection with flying colors. If it's still in working condition, it doesn't need to be replaced. People talk about the coding and the American Disabilities Act. Well, this is grandfathered in, but there's still a lot of things that I'd like to do that would maybe make it even better than their standards. I spent a lot of time studying up on American Disability Standards. And one thing I realized that we could do that they don't have in there is I'd like to see handrails all around the gym for people like Millie Woods that is on a cane and could hold on to the handrail. That's not in the American Disabilities Act. There's multiple other things that needs to be done, but it's not expensive things. Probably the most expensive thing I'd like to do, and it would be another debate that we probably need to talk about, is painting of the outside. There's three possibilities, and they're totally different in pricing. One, you could have murals put on the three sides and make it look like they do. I know the man that does the downtown murals that look so beautiful. You put Woodway, put Cardinals on it, Roadrunners at the bottom, something that really makes people want to take pictures with it. It could be beautiful. Also, it could be very expensive, just to kind of mention that. Or another thing is get a contractor just to come out and give us bids on making a two-tone paint similar to our bricks so it kind of fits in with the rest of the campus. The third option is the poor boy option, We now have a wonderful assistant city manager that I'm sure can handle any project, and we probably use our own staff and paint the outside like we did on the inside and save a lot of money. The goal should not be to come up with a high price so we can tell the citizens, yeah, it's going to cost $3 million to do. The goal is everything works pretty good. There might be some repairs, but how can we get these pickleball players and senior citizens this building and at the lowest cost possible? And there's one more little thing, and I promise you I'll slow down my talking. When we built this, the new one, the old one was at capacity. Some of y'all remember this. It was busting at the seams. We didn't get much more capacity out of this new one. I'm afraid if we knock this thing down, that within a year or two, we're going to be asking the citizens for $6 or $7 million more in a bond and raising the taxes for more space for the new one, because I believe we've got an excellent person in Jimmy as far as directing this, and he's going to be maxing that capacity out. If we keep it, there's going to be nights that we could roll the overflow into this building. There's a lot of things we don't need. We don't need the LEDs that's on that report. Lighting. The lighting works pretty good. Anyway, I probably said too much, but I wanted
you all. Thank you, Mr. Wilson.
Thank you.
Yes, Dr. Okay. Ayanna.
As some of you know, there have been some very, very preliminary and tentative discussions with Meals on Wheels, perhaps using the senior center to offer meals to seniors, and that would also provide some supervision on other activities in the senior center, and of course increase attendance. The other factoid I might mention is the city of Waco annually provides Harrison Senior Center a payment of, I believe it's about $14,000. And so there's good cause to say that our tentativeness in this discussion is appropriate.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Kisa.
I think that the request for proposal is very premature. And the reason is, first, I think, as I suggested in our last meeting, we should, as a city, get some significant input from the residents on exactly what they want, the senior community particularly, but all residents, what they would like to see in the old family center. I don't think it has to be labeled a senior center. I think it can be used for more than just seniors. And the thing is, what this will help us do, it'll help us look at the existing design and see how that design meets the needs of what we're finding out in our survey. See if that design will work. Then we can go in and decide, well, gee, do we need to move this wall or that wall? You know, instead of a proposal from a totally disinterested group on how to design something that nobody's had any input on. So instead of a request for proposal, I would say get the input, let's have a look at it, and then get a request for quote on how to do something.
So I'll chime in. I think there's some confusion in language. Request for bids is where the city specs out what they want, usually through a design professional, and goes out and asks the building community, what would it cost to build what it is that we want built? A request for proposals is a more general request where the city says, we have these ideas, kind of like what you're speaking about, Councilmember Keeston. These are the things we want, and you ask design professionals to help you imagine what that would look like building within the parameters that you have on the ground, so in this case with an existing structure already. There's no such thing as a request for quotes. So when it comes to procurement, requests for proposals are a particular type of procurement available to the city to say, these are some general parameters. We don't necessarily know where the walls want to go or the doors need to go, but we want to know to accomplish these functions, help us design something and give us a reasonable estimate of its cost. That's what a proposal is. The city can look at them and throw them all away. The city can choose the best one and the best value for the city. The city can do a number of things. It's within the proposer's best interest to come in competitively, both in terms of design and cost, because they're measured against anyone else who might come in. So when we talk about a request for proposals, that's a very particular type of request cities make for projects such as this. So talking about bids, some, like Councilmember Russell saying, if we knew specifically what it was we wanted changed, we would go bid those items out and say, have someone bid what it would cost to bring it in. This item is posted for a request for proposals, which means we give the building design professional community a general sense of what we're looking for and hear what they come up with to help us put that vision into nuts and bolts and screws and beams.
So
thank you for that clarification. So, the thing is, I think
I'll get you next.
I think that really makes a lot of sense. I mean, I understand what you're saying, but I think we're honestly putting the cart before the horse. We really need to get the input of a lot of people in the community that can tell us a lot of how they want it to function. You know, and frankly, I don't remember that ever having been done for the new family center. So,
Yes, we did.
It has been. May I speak? Back to the survey.
You're going to yield your time. Yeah.
John, thank you. I appreciate that.
We've got
plans. We have things already in the works as to what's going to take place. To do a survey now is getting the cart before the horse. We've already got a program. If there's things in the program, after the program's in place and working, we go back and look at what more would you like or what other things would you like. That's when we take the survey. But we've already got this in place based on what we've already surveyed and asked the people.
Who is driving this car? Is it us here or is it them there?
We have their input. Yeah. And Jimmy's here.
I don't remember them giving any input.
Well, maybe not these 20 people in this room.
The people that
have been using the OLS facility and the programs, they've been putting input by their activities and their requests and the action that was taken. That's how we designed the new facility and the plans that are already in place for the activities there.
It only makes sense if you're going to spend hundreds of thousands of dollars that you get current input from your current residents on what they might like to do.
I agree with you, but this is not the time. We'll get the proposal, we'll get things in motion with the new facility, we'll get the proposals on what is offered with the old center, and then if there's more that needs to be added or we need to ask the do a survey at that point, we can do surveys at any point. That would be fine.
Thank you. Let me get Mayor Pro Tem, then I'll come to you.
Oh, that's okay. Our foot, of course.
No, go ahead.
It's not me this time.
As a park director in both a smaller community and a large community, the opportunity that most presents itself for the citizen input is when you do your five-year open space plan. And during that process is when you actually are engaging the community in what the overarching things are that they would like to see in the way of a park system. And once you do that, then you move down that pathway with your action items on that plan. And if they say, hey, we want this type of facility, then you start looking at the feasibility of building that type of facility. But when it comes to programming, oftentimes programming is part of that initial phase of doing your plan. I haven't been here long enough, so I couldn't tell you when the last time we actually did an actual plan for the Parks and Recreation Department, but I'm sure that since we're talking about it, it's going to come up. I'm sure of that. And since it hasn't come up until now, as far as the development of programming is concerned, I'm not saying I'm right. I'm just telling you from experience that oftentimes, most of the time, the community is asked to participate after the fact. Meaning, once you get your programming in place, you're basing that on professionals who are in the industry, on what's going on in the industry, because they've done their research.
And then you put out certain things. And then if they don't work, guess what happens in programming world? You change it. Yeah. And that's just the bottom line. Things come and go. I've seen so many different programs come and go. People say, oh, I want this. Okay, we give it to you. 2 months later, it's dead. And we've had a lot of people, and we thought, man, we thought that was going to go off really well. People change their minds. Things change. And so the programming aspect is a never-ending cycle. What you want today is going to change tomorrow. I guarantee you. You may not think so, but I guarantee you what you want today, 3 years down the road, 2 years down the road, that's going to change. And so for expediency's sake, if we want to utilize this building, and I'm 100% on the side of let's take a look at what it takes to get this thing up and running, if we can. If the request for proposals come back and say, hey, we have all the things that people do and want to do, and great, and it's going to cost this amount of money, we can do it, I'm all for it. If they come back and they say, hey, tear it down and build a new one. You know. Now, with that being said, I do agree with, I agree and disagree with what David said. I agree that we need to make sure we have something with regard to what your input is, and I think we've accomplished that with what we've been trying to do. If people haven't responded, it was out there, you know, and they had an opportunity to think of all kinds of stuff. It was out
there. Where was it out there?
Woodway Forward, for one.
We haven't got the report back on it yet.
It doesn't matter.
And that wasn't specifically for the old family center either.
It was presented at the Parks Board. The specific senior programming ideas was presented to the Parks Board, and we had citizen comment, and then also then it came back to us, and that was an agenda item, I want to say, our last meeting?
Or something like that. But the last thing I want to say, and if we're going to have a senior center, and I think we should personally, I think we ought to call it senior center, because my experience has shown me if you don't call it that, and if you don't purpose it that way, it won't stay that way. And it will be much more difficult to say, oh, we got this building, and we're going to use it for whatever comes up. And guess what's going to happen? Other people are going to be calling and saying, hey, this is what we got. Now, if we want to have a senior citizen center, then as a group, as a body, if we vote that way, then we should probably be intent on saying this is a carve-out. It is what it is. And I've had senior centers. As a matter of fact, here in Waco, Sol Ross and Harrison. I was the director of Parks and Recreation here in Waco. But I guarantee if we don't, they're going to morph into other things. And because those have been called out, people understand this is where seniors go to do X, Y, and Z. Okay? And so that would be where I stand.
Thank you, Mayor Pro Tem. Well, it sounds like I don't think anybody here is opposed to doing something with the old family center. I think we got to find out how much it costs.
I do want to say
we got to find out what it's going to cost to do anything.
Yeah,
I think that's the prudent.
I can't say yes or no as to whether I'm for the old Woodway Family Center
unless you know how much
building
it costs.
Unless I get more information. I just feel like I'm being asked to make a decision without all the information.
Understood.
And can I add one last thing? Going back to what our counsel, David, said. When you put out a request for proposal, one, we get to tell them kind of what we're looking for in a general sense. And two, usually the folks who respond to those requests for proposals are people who are in the business of not only building a building or renovating a building, but they also bring on board with them individuals who actually know something about parks and recreation and about programming. So they're going to give you a holistic view of not only the physical condition of that building, but what you can and maybe what you should aspire to do in this. And they'll give you some different options. They'll give us some different options as to what it is that we may not even thought of some things. Say, hey, this is a cutting edge kind of thing. So, you know, this is what it would cost, but and this is what it would take to make it work, but this is what you have.
Got a question for you, and it'll be a quick one. I like what you said about the senior center. So you're saying the new family fund center would either be a senior center only,
or we put the senior center in the old one, because you have the new family fund center. How are you going to make it a senior center?
Well, no. I wouldn't say, I don't think we've ever said that it's going to be a senior center. I think that we said we're going to have senior programming in the new center. And that's common, because in Indianapolis, I had a lot of different buildings. I had three senior buildings. I had 19 different facilities that were family centers.
Just want to make sure we stay on topic.
Okay. Yeah. Just saying that. The 16 out of the 19, we had various types of senior programming, but they weren't dedicated senior centers. That's all I'm saying.
Good. Councilwoman Cook.
Yeah, I just had a question. So within a request for proposal for renovation, would that include the state of some of the systems? Like, is that part of that? Because to my understanding, we don't really know the state of the roof. We don't really know the state of the HVAC systems. We don't really know. We definitely do not know the state of mechanical, electrical, or plumbing systems, as is directly, explicitly stated in this condition report. We also don't know the state of fire suppression systems, and we also do not know quantifiable deferred maintenance. So,
Councilwoman Cook, I think we can request, in addition to the RFP that Councilwoman Gilman is asking for, I think we can also request a condition report of the old.
Would it be like
those are a little bit
report? I would appreciate that.
And yeah, I think that's all. I think that if
are those different?
Those are so. I think what you're describing is an inspection or a building inspection, right? I mean, that's what you're
just
describing.
Or a condition report,
an updated engineers,
which is a little bit different than what I would think would go in an RFP, though you can kind of put whatever you want.
Yeah.
Could
we just ask for it? Not necessarily be part of it, but say it would be nice if we had a new engineering report
into the RFP. Yeah, I think that's good.
And it would be nice if we could use a local engineer. I was going to ask David Fulbright to try to, you know, put a proposal together, because he is an engineer. And he said he would rather be a part of a citizen board with Millie Wood that would have meetings in there, look at the needs in there, so to get more of the transparency point. So we could see, like you talked about, the air, heat and air. Like today we found out that multi-units was replaced just a few years ago. There is some needs in that, but there's some pretty new units in there also.
So respectfully, there are laws governing the procurement of professional services, and with all due respect to Millie Woods, I don't know that she holds the credentials to serve as an engineer for the city of Woodway.
Say that again. I didn't hear.
We can talk offline, but that's not how you procure engineering services.
Well, he was saying he didn't want to do the engineering service. Yeah, he was saying he would rather be part of a board, a citizen board. So my second suggestion is we've used Jim Winton several times. He has an office here in Woodway. That would give a separate, I mean, CPNY is a wonderful engineering firm. I don't want to say that.
Let's follow the process.
You can ask for a referral from him, but also others.
Yeah.
Right now on the table is the city manager to request proposals.
And Councilwoman Gilman, would you like to also request a condition report or a engineering study?
Like those things can be done separately. We're not posted for that. We can try not to get on that.
Can the RFP include that?
That's not actually the most efficient way to do that.
Well, it just saves us a step.
You want to put it on motion agenda for the future?
Okay. Yes. You want to? Okay. Yes. Councilwoman, she'll do it that way.
However you want to do it.
All right. Great. Well, is there any more discussion? I'll entertain a motion then, Councilwoman Gilman, so we can get the information we need.
I make a motion to authorize the city manager to issue a request for proposals to renovate the existing Woodway Family Center.
Second.
And the condition report.
And the condition report.
It's okay.
Including the request for proposals, including the condition report to renovate the existing Woodway Family Center.
Thank you.
This is just the new building you're talking about.
No, this is the old building.
Correct.
All right. You might put that in your motion so it's a little clearer.
It's the existing family center.
Thank you.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded. I'll now call for the vote. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, please say nay. The ayes have it, and the motion carries.
Hey.
Thank you all very much. Consent agenda time. Consent agenda consists of non-controversial, routine, and budgeted items which require no public hearing. This consent agenda is subject to being approved with a single motion. However, the mayor or any other city council member may remove any item from consent agenda for separate discussion and consideration. Mr. City Manager, any comments on the consent agenda?
Two items, sir. Item B as in boy. This is to approve the expenditures for the emergency repairs to the Bosque Well to Jurgensen Pump for $74,442.50. And the next item is for terms, as y'all discussed in the executive session for my evaluation.
Very good, sir. Thank you. Council, you have the consent agenda before you. Are there any items that you would like to remove for separate discussion?
I would like to pull out B as in boy.
We're pulling out 9B, B as in boy. Anyone else? All right. I will entertain a motion to approve items 9A and 9C on the consent agenda, please.
So moved.
So moved?
Seconded.
Moved and seconded. Thank you. I'll call for the vote. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, please say nay. The ayes have it, and the consent agenda, item 9A, 9C, is approved. Item 9B is discussion and consider action on ratifying the expenditure of $74,442.50 to Jurgensen Pump, LLC, for emergency repairs to Bosque Well due to unforeseen damage and necessary to preserve or protect the public health or safety of the city's residents pursuant to Texas LOC Government Code, Section 252.0215. Motion to discuss, please.
I'll make a motion to discuss.
I'll second.
Moved and seconded. Thank you. Mr. Russell.
I just wanted to get a little more clarification on it. We had heard that there was electrical issues. I'm wondering, was this pump motor? What all was this? Also noticed that we've been using this Jurgensen Pump, LLC, out of Valley Mills. Does Smith Pump, have they been coming in too high? We've got a local business here, and I just wanted to make sure they did get a possibility to repair this.
Mr. Norman, you want to explain the procurement on emergency repair or why we use Jorgensen?
Yes, sir, I can. Actually, the gentleman for that company is one of the most knowledgeable people that we've used, and he's very familiar with our systems. He does the work that we need. He did actually, I believe he used to work for Smith Pump at one time. But he handles all of our wells as far as emergency repairs go.
Do we not get three bids?
Not an emergency. We're like, this one was 2:30 in the morning.
Okay. And what was the 74,000? Was it for a motor or what?
The 74,000, I believe 57 and some change thousand.
If you look on page 35 in your agenda, it has the invoice for the first $68,000 of the billings.
Okay. Let's see if mine will get there.
I can help you. You have field service for $4,000. The motor was $57,652. There is a Toro airline for $367.50, a splice kit for $650, and field service of $5,500.
Now, haven't we had this well go down lately? I mean, several times.
Within the last 2 years, and we met with the manufacturer today for that motor company.
And it's the motor that's the motor.
In this situation, it was the motor. The windings had an issue.
Was it under warranty?
No, sir. Any motor that we've ever dealt with comes with a 1-year warranty, and this was I want to say it was 18 months, I believe, 19 to 26 months on this one.
How many horsepower is that motor?
Oh, man. It's a 12-inch.
Says 200.
200 horsepower. 200,
yeah, 200. The other one, 250, and this one's 200. Yes, sir.
Councilman Keeson, I will add, it may not be under warranty, but I did file an insurance claim for all the pumps that have gone down. So TML is working with us to process those to recoup some of the funds.
Thank you.
That's anything
everything.
Else, Mr. Rossi?
That's okay. Everything
I guess we're going to look for a motion here.
I'll make a motion to approve it.
It's been moved.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Thank you. I'll call for the vote. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed, please say nay. The ayes have it, and the motion carries unanimously. Thank you all. Item number 11, this is the city manager's report. Mr. City Manager, do you have any updates for us?
No reports, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Manager.
I've got a couple of questions for you. One, October 3rd is National Night Out, I believe. I don't know if anybody said anything about it. In the past, council members would go with the police officers and meet people. I would like to ride with the chief, if it's okay with the chief, on that night. And I don't know if anybody else would like to do that. I know the mayor has done that a few times, too. And it's just
I've never had the privilege of riding with chief.
Well, that's why I'm asking first.
But I actually try my best not to ride with chief.
Yeah, I'm afraid I'm not going to. But anyway, that's one thing.
I've never had anyone want to ride with me. This is great.
The other issue I was going to ask: do we have a chipper shredder for the city?
We have a shredder.
Uh
huh. I don't know what capacity it is. It's a Vermeer.
Yes, it's an industrial, commercial size.
One that chipper. You can tow behind or something, I guess. Okay. Well, somebody sent me this, J.P. Mart, I believe.
I'm just, Councilman Russell, I'm not sure where you're headed. How are we tying this to what we're posted for?
Well, I was going to ask the city manager about this issue that a citizen was asking about. And usually we do this during this manager's report.
If we're not posted, then we can put it on a future agenda item, but that's really all we can do. Or we could.
Or you can talk to him offline.
Why don't you talk to him offline?
Okay.
See if I can help whatever issue is.
I do have a question since we're open to asking questions here regarding city services. And this is regarding, I heard a comment during public comment that I wanted to ask to clarify and to make sure we go on the record. Seniors who use the new family center are not relegated to just one room. They'll have access to the entire facility.
Yes.
Thank you.
Can I correct
I just want to be very clear on that, because I was very saddened to hear that lady say that. Yes.
And that they're not required to go through the turnstile. There is a gate that opens, and anybody on a walker or a wheelchair can go through that opening without any trouble.
So they'll open up the gate during that time period?
Sure.
Okay. I just wanted to go on the record
for that.
There's
a push button so that anyone can open the gate themselves.
They would just have to walk a long ways to get down to the room if they're going to be using it. Shorter distance.
Okay.
For the seven.
The main thing is I just wanted to make sure that we knew
Can I ask a question? I'm sorry, I didn't hear. Did you say if they're not going to have to stay in one room, they have access to the whole facility?
Whole facility.
That was a meme that said that.
So why do so many people think that they have just have one room from 9 to 3?
No idea.
I don't know. Misinformation.
And I know I'm not supposed to be talking directly, but I want to set the record straight. They have access to all.
That needs to be.
They can play basketball if they want to. They get out there with the walker.
That's never ever been the case. So I just wanted to say that. Be on the record to anybody who's listening. All right. Anything else for the city manager? Moving on. Item number 12, city council reports. Any briefings or updates?
Don't think we have a
Not P&Z. Really. I mean, I was at the P&Z, but we just approved everything, so okay.
Short meeting. Yeah. Those are the good ones. All right. All right. Well, thank you all very much. We are getting out a little bit early tonight, I guess. motion to adjourn, please.
I'll make a motion to adjourn.
All in favor? Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. Adjourned at 7:55.
Good night.